Let's pray together. God, thank you for your promises that we see and anticipate. For everything that you have done in our lives, we give you thanks for what you are doing and for what we know is still to come by your hand. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. With Christmas Eve falling on this last Sunday of the year, today being technically the first Sunday of Christmas, it feels a little odd on New Year's Eve. But whatever the case, today we experience fulfilled expectations and anticipation of the future all at the same time. Now, I saw this brought to life last week on December 26th, the day after Christmas. I was walking in my neighborhood, and as I rounded a corner, I saw a little boy and a little girl in the front yard on the sidewalk. The boy was probably 5 or 6, the little girl, 3, 4 years old. She was wearing bright pink stretch pants and a white shirt and white tennis shoes. And the white shirt and white shoes on a 3 or 4 year old tells you right away that she had just received those the day before, that she was wearing Christmas clothes, probably from grandma. I was wondering where, you know, the parents were, and right as I was wondering, Dad walked out with 2 suitcases out to the car. Probably they were getting ready to leave and go back to wherever it was that they were from, but it was the little girl. Something about her caught my eye. And it was probably the fact that as she walked out of the house, she did so with great intention. Not walking like you and I might walk out to the car. She came out of the house walking to the car. And I mean, it was just so intentional. And then she went and picked up sticks, 2, and started conducting an orchestra in her imagination and started singing along with whatever orchestra was playing in her mind. Me, mama, me, mama. I couldn't tell what the song was, but she could. And I looked at her on the day after Christmas, and it was like fulfilled expectations and anticipation of the future and total and complete presence in that moment all came together at the same time in this little 3, 4 year old girl. If there is one section of scripture that articulates this posture of excitement, of anticipation, and total fulfillment of everything we've ever been waiting for, it's the last half of the book of Isaiah. Now, we've read parts of Isaiah through this season, through December, and you might remember that Isaiah, if divided perfectly in half, which it certainly appears to be, the first half is all about them being told, the people of God, you are going into exile. You are being taken away from everything that you possibly have ever leaned upon. And God told them through Isaiah, you're going to have to lean on me. You're going to go to an unfamiliar place and you're going to be surrounded by unfamiliar people. But in the process, I'm going with you. So just lean all your hopes, all your fears, all your anticipation on me. The second half of Isaiah, though, seems to be written probably as they were coming back home, or maybe even after they were home. And it was God's way of telling them, when you were in exile in Assyria and Babylon and all these places, I was with you. I brought you back home. And don't forget that I did the same thing with your great, 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 however many great grandparents. I brought them out of Egypt and I planted them in their home. I did the same exact thing for you. I brought you back and I'm with you. I was with you then and I'm with you now. But it's towards the end of this second half of Isaiah that they heard a word for them that probably is just as relevant for us today, and depending on how you look at the way that God works in the world, maybe even more so. The beginning of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Now, I don't know how comfortable you are with the language of God testing us. So, don't hear that in necessarily a negative way, but instead, what if, even in your hearing, God is asking you, God is asking us, can you today believe this? Can you believe that what God is up to in this world today, on the last day of the year, and even going into the new year, is replacing everything that you can possibly think of that you are worried about with crowns of righteousness and hope and peace and joy and love and even the Spirit of Christ? And then a little bit more into 61 to 61:10. This could be our response. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This season of Christmas is all about fulfilled promises. Today is all the feels, all at the same time. For the season leading up to Christmas, we had the four Sundays of hope, of peace, of joy, and love. And today is the Sunday that brings all of those things together, the Sunday of Christ. the people of God, 300 to 400 years before the arrival of Christ, had this anticipation. They longed for these promises to be fulfilled. But if this season and today is about anything, it is a time for us to proclaim that these promises have been fulfilled. We live in the best time in the story of God. We live in the best time of the story of God's people because we live in a time of fulfilled promises. And so what I'd like to invite you to do is for a moment to just sit in these fulfilled promises, to rewind all the way back to the first Sunday of Advent earlier this month, and to let yourself for a moment hope. To just sit and dwell in hope. While you're doing that, hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 12. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. The Gospel of Matthew quotes the second half of Isaiah to remind us to be people of hope. Peace. Allow yourself for a moment to sit in the peace of Jesus Christ. The very last public thing that Jesus said in the Gospel of John before moving towards the cross, the last thing that he said while he was still teaching and preaching, was when Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Joy. This is a period of time that we live in to this day. Good news that brings us great joy. This is Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" This is a season of joy. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that our understandings and the way that we use this, for example, as a Sunday of joy, is rooted in an old Latin word, an old tradition where they called that Sunday Gaudet Sunday. You've heard that before. And I said, you know, that word was not a noun. It's not an idea. It's a verb. That joy in Latin originally is supposed to be a verb. Someone asked me, "Did you just make that up?" No, I didn't just make that up. In fact, it is second person plural. Y'all rejoice. So that joy isn't just an idea. It's not even just a verb to rejoice. It's a call to worship. That we all together right now are being called to rejoice with one another. And then the final Sunday that we went to last week out of the Sunday of Love, John 15. This is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now, on this Sunday of Christ, you probably noticed in those readings, going back and highlighting the four Sundays, that they all kind of started overlapping. Peace Sunday mentioned joy, Joy Sunday mentioned love, Love Sunday mentioned peace, and that's on purpose. Because today, on this first Sunday of Christmas, on this day, everything comes together. All of these things come together, and they do so not just in our hope, not just in our rejoicing, but they do so in Christ. And so hear the word of the Lord from Revelation 1. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Today is a day of fulfilled promises. 2024 could be the year where you experience more hope, more peace, more joy, and more love than you have ever experienced in your entire life. You're going to go out today and you're going to start hearing messages, radio, TV, internet, and they are going to tell you that 2024 is going to be a horrible year. They're going to tell you that you have so much to be afraid of about 2024. I'm here to tell you that they are wrong, every last one of them, because we, as the people of Jesus Christ, are about to go into a year where we are filled with great hope, where we know what peace is because of Jesus. We know what it means to come together and rejoice in the Lord always because of Christ. And we know what it looks like in everyday life to be people of love, to be people of God's love, and to love one another in the name of Jesus. And we know this because of Christ Jesus. So get ready, because 2024 is going to be the best year of your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.